Emma, we are only about 256 days away from the Olympics in Tokyo, did you know?
Can't wait.
We're very much looking forward to that, and I've been tracking Jess Fox down for 2 years, I reckon, on this program. Somehow, we've landed her. She's just booked her spot to Tokyo for 2020. I'm sure she's up and about that. Jess, good morning to you. Welcome to the Breakfast Club.
Good morning. Thank you for having me.
We've been tracking you for 2 years, Jess. I've been chasing you for 2 years. I don't know if my producer's no good or you've just been really busy.
I don't know. It has been pretty busy, but I'm sorry it's taken that long for me to
get
with you.
That's all right.
Daniel hasn't been able to sleep last night because he's been so excited about talking to you, Jess.
Oh, that's awesome. Well, hopefully it could be a fun chat.
Well, you're a star of the Australian Olympic team. You're basically the queen of the water these days, the Australian canoeing superstar. And on Saturday, I think it was, you were given your ticket to Tokyo, your third Olympic Games. What is it, as good as the first time, or is it different?
Yeah, look, it's I think when I made the criteria to be qualified at the end of September, early October, it was kind of like, okay, I've ticked that box, that's fantastic. I can now prepare for the games in July rather than waiting until February for our selections, as would normally happen. But when I actually got handed that, oversized boarding pass and the happy coat and, the official, I guess, ceremony to be named onto the Olympic team, it was extremely special. And I think just as special as the first time. So to think that I'm going to the third Olympic Games, it's crazy. And I can't believe it's been, almost 8 years since the first Olympics that I went to in London. So very excited, very proud to represent Australia for a third time.
So Jess, how important will that, knowing now that you're going to the Olympics in July, be for your preparation?
It's a different preparation because I don't have to, I guess, taper for our selections in February, which I would normally have to do. So it just means I can train through that period. I can focus on different parts of my physical prep and technical prep as well. And I'll be going to New Zealand for the Oceania Championships in January and getting some time on that course there. So I think the travel will be, it won't be as hard on the body because I don't need to be in the best shape for those races. And I can just train through until the Olympics and the World Cup just before. So I think the preparation will be a little bit easier. You also don't have the stress of, waiting to hear until February to know if you're going to go to the Olympics. So it's a relief to have secured that spot now at this time of year and to kind of just also enjoy the lead up to the Olympics a bit more because I do know that I'm going. So, I'm already back into training and excited for the next few months.
So your mum's your coach, obviously, and your family have got such a great history in canoeing. Have you both sat down now and basically mapped out week by week up until Tokyo?
Yeah, it's still a work in progress and lots of Excel sheets and just a bit of a headache to sort out because of the logistics of, getting to and from Tokyo and then to Europe and when I'm going to pick up new kayaks and canoes and what races I'm going to do in the lead-up. So we're still working out all the details, but it's pretty much mapped out. We'll be heading to Tokyo in March, in April and in May for a few training camps, and that'll be with the full team. So the other guys who qualify in February will be coming as well. So, that's the next phase, I think, is to get back onto the Tokyo course and fine-tune and learn it and really build on that, I guess, confidence on that course. And then we'll have World Cup in June and then we'll come home for a little bit and then go back to Tokyo in July for the game. So the detail isn't quite set in stone yet, but the general skeleton of the year is.
So how determined are you to get this Olympic gold? You've done so well at World Championships in a variety of different events, a silver and a bronze. Is that the sort of thing that keeps you going, or is it just the whole buzz of representing Australia at Olympic Games is enough?
Oh, it's a little bit of both. I think it's also just the desire to continually improve and push myself and my limits and see how far I can go in the sport. And as you said, a silver and a bronze in London and Rio were amazing achievements, and that's definitely kept me hungry for the next 4 years to get to this point and to get to Tokyo. My goal is, the dream is to win an Olympic gold medal, but my goal is to get there on that start line in the best possible shape physically, technically, mentally, to give it my best shot and put down my best runs. And in the end, I can't really control what the other girls do, but if I put my best performance down on the day, then I can be really proud of that, and hopefully that means standing on the top of the dice. But yeah, we'll see when we get there. But I think just to be able to represent Australia, you know, wear the Olympic kit with our coat of arms and be a part of a multi-sport Australian Olympic team has always given me so much pride and passion as well to continually get up and go training. But obviously, it's a sport that I love, so I'm enjoying every moment, and I love to race. So, yeah, 253 days or something to go. So, yeah, it'll come around really quickly.
Well, you're pretty awesome at it too, so it's no surprise that you're loving it. 10-time world champ, and as Whitey said, a silver and bronze at Olympic Games with the gold. Obviously, the lure for Tokyo, where I believe you just come back from a couple of weeks ago. You went to Tokyo to test out the course. Is that right?
Yeah, that's right. We were there for, so they held the test event and a training camp so that we could get our first look at the course and test it out. And they'll be making a few tweaks on it because it's a man-made artificial course. So it's not a natural river, which means we can move and change the configuration to change the features. So
right,
the engineers will be playing with that in the next few months, and the final configuration for the course will be set in May or April maybe. So yeah, I liked it. I really enjoyed paddling there and getting out this look at the course. There's Disneyland on one side and the Tokyo skyline on the other, so it's a picturesque spot, and the water's beautiful, very clear. Apparently it gets really hot in summer because it's basically a contained lake, and they pump the water from it, and it's basically, yeah, a hot swimming pool in the summer. So we'll see how we go, but I think coming from Australia, we're pretty used to the heat, so I think it'll be an advantage for us.
I reckon you'll be right. Just on the course, so we hear it's Olympic Games, we hear there's a fast pool. I don't know what that means, but it's a fast pool, Jess. Are there fast courses?
A fast pool?
You know when the swimmers say, oh, it's a fast pool tonight.
Yeah, I'm surprised by that. I'm like, isn't it just the water's always the same?
Well, that's what I'm thinking.
Yeah. We have fast courses in that the water, the river's really fast water. So the flow speed, the natural speed's really fast. And this one's not super fast. But for us, you know, we don't have world records or personal records because the course is always different.
Yeah.
So wherever we go in the world, there'll be different gates set. There'll be a different course that we race on each week. So we can't have that benchmark, I guess. So we compare ourselves to the guys. And sometimes on a natural river, there may be fluctuations in water level. So you might say, oh, yesterday the water was lower, so it was slower for the men. But today it's faster, so the girls' times are faster. But generally at international competitions, we try and make sure everything is, you know, regulated. So that's why we're on artificial courses for the Olympics. So it's not a super fast course, but it's not that slow either.
And what about the way you approach things and the experience of performing in Olympic Games? That you're in the boat by yourself, basically, in the canoe by yourself, basically, majority of your life, I imagine. But you're involved in a big team when it gets to an Olympic campaign. How different is that? How big a spur is that for you to be a part of something just a bit bigger than you in the boat?
Yeah, I think obviously it's an individual sport, and it's really tough for us in slalom because only one person can compete in each event per country. So for the Olympics, we'll actually only have a team of three athletes from canoe slalom, whereas at a world champs, we've got between 8 and 12 athletes. And that's a really nice group, and you know, we've had some great seasons the last couple of years with that group. So it's quite cutthroat to then get to the games and only be a small handful, but you know, it's that is what it is. You've got to get those quota spots. And so to be part of a multi-sport team, now being my third Olympics, I know quite a lot of athletes from different sports. And it's really nice to, I guess, support each other across different sports and to feel like you are supporting each other in one team. But that's not just at the games. It's been the last 4 years, you know, through social media, you can stay in touch with people and you can kind of see what your Olympic teammates are up to and support them in that way. So that's been really lovely. And yeah, I can't wait to get back there and be part of the team again.
Well, I'm sure the team's pretty happy to have you there. And we are wrapped as a sporting nation to have you there representing us, because we know you'll do a hell of a job for us in Tokyo. And we wish you the best Jess, in the build-up to Tokyo, 253 days away. We know it's going to be a great experience. Go get them.
Thank you so much. I'll try my best.
Good on you. Great to have you with us. Jessica Fox.